Radio. We're Radio Verulam in West Harts.
Welcome to the Parent Show on Radio Verulam 92.6 FM.
Neave Solicitors are proud to sponsor the Parent Show. The friendly team at Neave's includes specialists who can guide you through all the legal ups and downs of family life. Visit neavesolicitors.co.uk. Neave Solicitors, your complete legal solution.
Welcome to the Parent Show on Radio Verulam 92.6 FM. I'm Lydia Elcourie.
And I'm Cathy Weston. A very warm welcome tonight. We're tackling a very, very emotional and difficult topic. We're talking about the sexual abuse of children this evening. It is something that has been in the papers, in the press for weeks now. It just seems to be a tidal wave of exposure of paedophiles and sexual exploitation rings and abduction of children. It just seems to be an enormous raft of things that have happened. So it's made our show very, very topical and a very important one.
So because it's the Parent Show, obviously the most important perspective is a parent's perspective. So we'll be talking to Marilyn Hawes, who is the founder of Enough Abuse. And Enough Abuse have actually produced parental guidelines for identifying and managing issues created by grooming and sexual abuse of children under the age of 16. I mean, it's a very distasteful subject, but we can't shy away from the subjects that we don't, you know, almost can't bear to think about. So we'll be talking to Marilyn in just a while.
Also, following Marilyn's interview, we're going to be speaking briefly to the NSPCC and finally to Professor Don Grubin, who's been on our show before. He is the forensic psychiatrist at Newcastle University and a global expert on sexual offending against children. He's going to give us some context and some idea of the psychology of these people who offend against our children.
Great. And just at the end of the show, we'll be talking to Claire Healy in association with Raring to Go about what's going on locally to do with our children. So here's a bit of Amy MacDonald, and we'll be talking to Marilyn in just a few minutes. Welcome back to the Parent Show on Radio Verulam 92.6 FM. And as we mentioned before that song, tonight's show is all about child sexual abuse. A very disturbing subject. And to talk about it, we have a parent, Marilyn Hawes, who has written a parental guidelines for the organisation that she established herself called Enough Abuse. Marilyn, thanks for joining us this evening.
Thank you.
Now, tell us a little bit about the organisation Enough Abuse. You set it up. What are the aims? What are the objectives?
The aims are to raise awareness for spotting and recognising grooming. We specifically focus on that as opposed to bullying or anything like that, because of the impact of child sex abuse is so enormous. It serves a life sentence on a child. It does definitely harm brain development and causes cognitive deficits with behaviour in school, learning ability, language ability. And I just feel passionately, having experienced this as a mother, not knowing that my own three boys had been abused, that what could I do with the teacher in me? What could I do with the pain and the agony that we were going through? And Enough Abuse was created as a tool, if you like, for education.
Now, Marilyn, how long ago was the charity set up? You've been going for quite a number of years.
Yeah, we were not for profit for a long time, and it's now recently been established as a charity as opposed to a not-for-profit. We've got Julie Walters as our patron.
Yes, and you've got some wonderful supporters.
We've got some wonderful trustees and people behind us backing us. It's been an enormous journey.
And Marilyn, as you mentioned, sorry, you've experienced everyone's nightmare. You have been the person who has discovered their children have been abused by someone who you trusted.
Yes.
Can you tell us your story?
Yeah, sure. I'd worked with this guy, I suppose. He'd been a friend. I met him in church when my first son, who's now 32, was only 2 years old. And my next child had not yet been born. And he just tapped me on the shoulder and said, oh, where will your little chap be going to school? And I said, I've no idea. I said, he's only two. And it went from there. We became like church friends, if you like. And the church that we attended in Berkshire had a Church of England school attached to it. So he made the case that, oh, well, little boys, you know, they need men on the staff with football and rugby and all of that. So it made sense. My little girl got born. We went to see the school and it went from there. And then I went on and had twin boys. And when the twins were five, I had become the music teacher at the school. The guy had become very much my best friend. And then bit by bit, the friendship developed, got a little bit stronger. It's a very subtle process. I mean, grooming is it's like a courtship.
He wasn't just grooming your children. He was grooming the whole family.
Grooming the whole family. And this is when I do the training courses. This is what I explain to parents, that it is the exaggerated behavior. They are so patient. You know, we have the internet now, but 60% of children are sexually abused by a member of the family. A further 30% are by close friends and associates. So 90% of children, that person walks through the front door.
Now, Marilyn, distinguishing the great difficulty, distinguishing between grooming and close friendship, of family hugging, kissing, physical affection, what would Enough Abuse say to parents about the grooming process? What does it look like and what does it feel like?
It's what it feels like, and it's a cluster of exaggerated behaviour. So we all tickle babies and children, and we all joke around, and we all like buying that ad hoc present for a child and larking around. But it's the exaggeration. I feel very strongly about adults. Come and sit on my lap. Mm-hmm. Come and sit on my lap. In my experience, and I had four children under five and a host of other children that came round to visit us, that if a child wants to sit on your lap, be hugged, it will come to you. In fact, you can't get it off your
lap.
Right. You know, right. Sticky fingers and all, they're not going to let you have your gin and tonic. You're going to have this child on the lap. But always, when there's lots of other room and lots of other seats, so we've got Christmas coming and houses are going to be full, it's this always wanting the child on the lap, the exaggeration. Tickling.
And the seeking out
and the same child.
I think most normal adults don't really want the child hanging off them.
No.
You know, or don't want that contact all the time. So it's the seeking out of that child and aloneness.
But I'm sure
with the
it's very easy as a parent to rationalise that somehow. It's like, oh, you know, he's had a series of unsuccessful relationships. He's on his own. He's lonely. I feel sorry for him. Isn't it nice he's getting a cuddle from somebody? Do you know, I'm sure you can rationalise it.
You can, but that's where that's where we get it wrong. And when I do the training courses, I use the analogy of a bird and a cat. How does the bird know that the cat's a predator? It hasn't gone to school. It knows by instinct.
Yeah.
And I involve the parents in the discussion.
Sorry, you're talking about your training courses.
The training courses, yes, you know, right. How, and this is what, I can only do this because I witnessed it. I felt there were moments when I thought, that tickling's a little over the top.
And how many times did it have to happen before your alarm bell rang?
When the police turned up.
Oh, really? Okay.
So it had gone on for my children then. All three boys were abused between the ages of 8 and 12. And the first I knew was when the police turned up on my doorstep, and my twins were then 17, going into sixth form, and my eldest son was then 22.
So it happened and you had absolutely
I had no idea. But there were these moments. There were moments when he would come in the room, and I can remember sitting there one day thinking, gosh, it's all these presents, It's like, it's like what you do when you're in love. And yeah. I can remember sitting in his living room thinking that. And I can remember the tickling games getting way out of control. And thinking, that's really odd. But then I was going through a divorce. I was homeless. I had no money. When you're under stress like that, mm-hmm. there is a window of opportunity. The family friend that's been there, no question mark over their head for years, suddenly finds that window of opportunity. Mm-hmm. And you're oh so grateful because you're not thinking straight. I mean, I had no money. And it was just dreadful. But there were moments, even in school.
This is a person, sorry, who was actually working.
Yes, working
with you.
Yes, he was a head teacher. He would take boys swimming on a Friday night. So I would say, I think, oh, this is very odd. So I'd ask the question, well, why are you doing that? Well, yeah, I'm not going to take girls. I'm a bachelor. Why am I going to take girls swimming? But why are you always taking naughty boys? Well, of course, it's vulnerable children, isn't it, you see?
Yeah.
And he'd say, well, you know, because they need a treat if they've been good. And anything you questioned him with, anything. I can remember the school secretary going into his office and saying, "This, I must remind you, this man trained to be a monk, and he had an enormous crucifix on his wall." And the school secretary said, "You know, you really shouldn't put these kids on your lap, and definitely not keep the door shut to your study." And he immediately turned round to the crucifix on the wall and said, "This person hanging on the cross is my judge, not you." Now, that's powerful stuff to throw back at somebody.
Marilyn, can you reassure us that these days in schools that would never happen?
No, I can't reassure you.
Is it the case that it could happen, that a staff member could be alone with a child?
It will be happening because people want to logic away, like you've just said, which is what I did. There were nanosecond moments, and when he went to court, the staff, it was only a small school, all said, "Oh gosh, well, you know, I saw stuff," but you don't want to be the whistleblower. You don't want to think, "Oh, what was it?" Because every time you raise a question, it becomes your fault. Now, that's what the cat and the bird don't do. The bird assesses the behaviour. It feels the instinct. It puts distance between itself and the cat, and it watches. At that point, we don't do that. We go, "Oh, that's a nice cat. I like Ginger Tom's. I'd make it a saucer of milk." That's where our logic goes. "Oh, well, he's a priest. He's a scoutmaster. She's a guide leader. She's this, he's that. Chairman of the PTA or whatever. Couldn't possibly be." But don't block your instincts. You do not want to be me. You do not want to have to face that doorbell. And your world will change forever at that point, and it will never be the same again.
Marilyn, what discussion were you, how do you deal with it beyond that point? What discussion do you have with your children at that point?
Yeah, how do you come back from that?
Well, I didn't, because they were boys and they found it very, very difficult. And even when they were teenagers, they were at university. So they still hadn't told me. I had a 9-hour interview with police because I knew this guy so well. And I still didn't know. And the boys went to university, and a magazine got hold of me after this chap had gone to jail. And but 2 years later, actually, in 2006. And they said, "Oh, could you tell your story?" I said, "Yeah, no problem." And I happened to say my boys' names and the universities they were at. Not unusual. Well, they are unusual names. So they found the boys. The next thing I knew was it was a week before they came down from university for Easter, and they had this magazine with them, and they said, "Oh, Mum, we thought you ought to read this." And I read what happened to them with the rest of the public that day that bought that magazine. They, to this day, have never told me because they're embarrassed. And they feel, you know, what did it say about them? You know, this is why it is so difficult for boys. People think it's, I'm sure there's people out there that think it's not as bad for boys. It is just as bad. You can't say it's worse for girls, it's worse for boys. The whole thing is awful.
I can't imagine how anybody'd relativise it for either gender. I mean, it's a horrific,
you would not
thing.
Believe what I hear people say, and the naivety in this country. I mean, I have sat with offenders and said, "What gave you the right? What? Where did it start? What were you thinking of? What did you think?" Now, only because I don't think violence, and I don't think kicking out at people and bashing people up is going to do anything. The intelligent way is to get yourself educated. And so when offenders say to me, parents are so naive, they don't want to recognise it, and it makes it easy for us to abuse their children. Well, there's a massive wake-up call.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter how much you don't like the taste of the coffee, ignoring it isn't going to change it. There are 1 in 6 children in this country as we speak at this moment we know will be being sexually abused.
Are all children at risk?
Of course they are. All children at risk, some more than others.
And can you tell us the kind of what is a kind of a preferable situation for predators? I mean, what kind of things are they looking at?
Opportunity. Like, opportunity. Like, so when someone is stressed, as I say, you know, I was a mother of 4, perfectly intelligent, articulate, functional mother and parent and teacher. But when your eye isn't on the ball, when you've maybe, where there's financial problems in the family or divorce or death or hardship, if anything, terrible illness, that's the opportunity. These people are like snakes. They sit there, they worm around you.
Because really those are the times that mummy's instincts
Absolutely.
Are down a little
exactly
bit.
Exactly right.
Because you're tired,
you're
you can't think, you're grateful for the help.
Exactly.
So I think
you're
it's
so grateful. I mean, I wasn't
vulnerable.
In a position, my ex-husband wasn't paying me my maintenance and I had no money. So anybody that was going to say, "Look, don't Don't stress. I'll buy the kids' shoes. I'll take them out to Burger King or wherever it is. You're going, oh, thank you. You know, it's like a walking saint. Another day, another time, in another situation, you might think twice. But they, you know, the vulnerable people, people in financial hardship, but all children are at risk. You know, the children that are groomed on the internet are middle class, white, non-vulnerable children. It's all families are at risk. All children are at risk. Yes, there may be some profiles, but you can't say, well, that counts me out then, because it doesn't.
Yeah, I'm sure. And I'm sure every parent is desperately trying to count themselves out of this scenario right now. So about schools, what are schools doing? What should schools be doing?
Well, schools obviously have all their child protection courses provided by the local authority. But we go around and we do training courses around right across the country to children's centres, independent schools, state schools, PGCE courses in colleges. Without exception, over 9 years, without exception, we are told by trained professionals that information we're giving, and we demonstrate grooming. I literally, all our team, taking 4-foot-sized teddy bears, the size of 3- and 4-year-olds, and we groom the teddy, because grooming is not a finite object, it's an experience. So you experience the feeling of feeling a little bit creepy inside, and oh my goodness, that's the sort of lap-sitting you mean, that's the sort of tickling you mean. But you're getting trained professionals who are going, do you know, 50 to 75% of what you've told us today, we have never heard. And it's relevant to our work. Now, 3 weeks ago, I was in Cardiff, talking at a school in Cardiff. 80 members of staff. Young teacher, 29, recently got divorced, moved house. She stood up before the coffee break and said, I need you to know you've rescued my son. He's 6 years old, and I absolutely know, without a shadow of a doubt, that he is now being groomed by my neighbour. I know it by my son's reaction, as you've described. And he said, but I've never been on a course where I've learnt this. That in 2012 is unacceptable. Yeah. That is what we're trying to get government to change. It isn't about figures, statistics. It's about prevention. And the only way you're going to prevent it is by getting the education out there. And parents have a right to know. You know, they want to know, how do we cope with binge drinking? How do we stop a child taking drugs? How do we cross the road? How do we swim? Why shouldn't we smoke? But this, oh no, look, let's not know about this. But this is the thing that is going to harm your life forever. This is the real biggie.
I think that the problem is that the issue is so complex, and you know, to ask parents to step into the mind of a paedophile is so difficult. But yet, you know, I think just I think focusing, as you say, on signs of abuse in your child's behaviour, and at home, and keeping a careful eye out on relationships within the family, and as you say, focusing on your instinct is a powerful tool.
Are there any telltale signs, like, I mean, from looking at your children, are there any classical ways that they can, you can see that they're being abused?
Change of behaviour, definitely. I could definitely say that all my three boys, and it's true in schools as well, where you've got, I mean, the three lads were very nice boys. They still are. They weren't your rubber ball type street cred, you know. They were respectful, they were quiet. And suddenly they became quite violent, especially the twins with each other. Now, when I actually said to the guy who was abusing them, because I was then on my own with four children, and I said, I don't understand what's going on, because when they come back from you, they're very violent. You must be treating them to too many gifts or things. Please don't do it, because I can't, I have no money. And if you're treating them like little princes in your kingdom, I can't cope with that. But something is not right. Oh, for goodness sake, he said, I told you this would be the fallout of divorce. I told you this is what would happen. Send them back and I'll talk to them. Yeah, he did. But I've learned since, in the last 5 years, that what he told them was that I didn't love them and I didn't want them. Mm-hmm. And that's the insidious stuff. So even now, I mean, I lost four children to have four children. And I adore my kids. I love children. I wouldn't have taught children. I wouldn't have put myself through losing four children to have another four. And they're very precious to me, as most children are to their parents. That, beyond anything else, really hurts me still to this day. Mm-hmm. Because no one has the right to say that to a child. So even now, those boys are now 32 years old and 27. If they don't phone me, if I leave a message and they don't phone me, I immediately panic and go, I'm not good enough. I've let them down. They don't love me. They don't accept me.
Because what you're referring to is the effects are long lasting, not just on the children, but on the entire family, on your relationship.
Exactly. And it's that feeling of, you know, it's not so much, well, like somebody said to me, it was the Peter Saunders, who runs NAPAC, said to me, it's not what they did to my body, it's what they did to my head. And that's what you can't mend. Yeah. The brokenness inside, you can't mend it.
Mm. Okay, thank you, Marilyn.
We're going to have to come to the end of this section. I'm sorry, Marilyn, move on. Is there any, I mean, give us some information about Enough Abuse. If anybody wants to attend a training course, what are the contact details?
It's enoughabuseuk.com, or it's Marilyn, M-A-R-I-L-Y-N, at enoughabuseuk.com. And what we're really wanting to do, which is innovative, and we are actually doing it in another part of Hertfordshire, is if parents think it's a good idea for us to, with your help, the media are so supportive in this remit, to hire somewhere in St Albans area where people can think, well, actually, if the school aren't going to let me learn, if no one's going to tell me what I really want to know, then why don't a friend of mine come along and pay for a three-hour session in a hall all together? It doesn't say anything about you other than the fact you're proactively courageous to say, I'm doing all I can to protect my child, and it is your right as a parent.
And how long are the courses?
We do it because we interact with the with the people. We get questions and answers.
So it's a three-hour session.
3 hours. And we take it slowly, with a break for coffee and time for questions, time for thought, time afterwards for people to talk privately if they want to. It's too important. And I just feel if Enough Abuse, and I know we've saved and helped thousands and thousands, and even if we only save one family, one mother a week, then my oxygen has been worth it. Because if you knew what it did, what it had done to you, you don't want to be me. Yeah. I'm one of the lucky ones. I had a strong family. I'm strong as a person. I had good doctors, good psychiatrists behind me. But most people would have gone down a dark hole. I was suicidal. It's a dreadful thing to happen to you.
Absolutely.
And thank you
Marilyn,
so much for sharing.
Thank you for inviting
very
me.
Very painful.
In.
So do stick around for our next couple of interviews. But I think we're going to have a break.
We will. We'll just take a little break and then we'll come back to talk to Professor Grubin. Partners.
If you enjoy singing and are looking for an uplifting musical experience, the St Albans Choral Society guarantees a friendly welcome to new members. The choir numbers around 80, rehearses on Thursday evenings in central St Albans and performs at various local venues including St Albans Abbey. If you have a reasonable voice and like a musical challenge, go along and join them. For further details, see their website, choralsociety.com, or call the membership secretary on 01727 831 838.
For more on Radio Verulam Community Partners, go to radioverulam.com/community partners.
The community's voice. We're Radio Verulam.
Thank you for joining us on the Parent Show this evening. Now, tonight's show is all about grooming and sexual abuse of children. And next up, we'll be talking to Professor Grubin, who holds the Chair for Forensic Psychiatry within the Faculty of Medical Sciences and is an honorary consultant for his forensic psychiatrist in Northumberland Tyne and Wear NHS Foundation Trust. He has an international reputation in relation to the assessment, treatment and management of sexual offenders, and he has published widely in respect of a number of areas of forensic psychiatry. Thanks for joining us, Professor Grubin. Thank you very much for joining us this evening.
Yes.
With everything that's going on with the Savile inquiry, and are parents forgiven for thinking that paedophiles are everywhere?
Well, that would be the impression that the media and the newspapers give, but they're certainly not. I mean, most children, the vast majority of children, aren't abused by paedophiles. But there certainly people can come away thinking that around every corner there's a predatory sex offender waiting for them.
Don, we've been talking tonight to Marilyn Hawes, who sadly had experience herself of her three children being abused by a close friend. Can you, and she's been telling us about her experience, can you shed light on what, from a criminological perspective, what is grooming? What does it look like? What are the things parents should know about it?
Well, I think it was described very well. I heard the interviews, and it was a very good account of what grooming is. Offenders are very good at identifying where their weaknesses in families, or where children respond to any sort of positive stroking. But I think the important thing the point that was made was that grooming is of both the children and of the family. It's not just the child that's groomed. Parents get taken in by the sex offender as well.
And can you shed light? Everyone has their own idea of what a paedophile looks like and who they are. Can you tell us what the truth is about the sort of typology of paedophiles and what you know, who they are, what occupations they may have?
Well, I can't answer that question because there's no such thing as a typical paedophile. You can find them in any walk of life, any social class. I think it's dangerous to think that there are characteristics that let you identify a paedophile, because then someone who doesn't have it and turns out to be a paedophile, you've missed them. So there is no such thing as a typical man who's going to offend against children.
And you've mentioned in lots of your research that children are more likely to be abused by someone in the family or in the close family circle. Can you expand on that? What sort of relationships are we talking about there?
Well, as you heard again in your previous interview, the vast majority of offences against children take place or are committed by people that the child knows and the child trusts often. Often it will be in the family, so it might be a direct relative, a father or a brother. It might be an uncle. It might be a stepfather. Or somebody who's known to the family, an acquaintance who is well-known and trusted by the family. 80 to 90% of sexual abuse takes place in that sort of context.
That's pretty shocking. And I'm sure everybody's thinking, well, not in my family. I just can't imagine a single member of my family who would go in that direction.
They're probably right, because that will be the case for most families.
Thankfully. But can I ask you, Professor Grubin, if are there any telltale signs? Is there anything that we can go on, anything that can alert us? I mean, we heard from Marilyn some tips, but I suppose psychologically, what should we be looking for? What motivates these people to think and move in this direction?
Well, there's two things to be looking for. I mean, one is change in behavior in the child. Again, you heard from Marilyn that the children became violent after they were with this man. Often you find things like they begin to wet the bed, they begin not to want to go places, they become more solitary and isolated. So any sort of change in behavior like that in the child. In terms of the adult, I mean, it can be difficult because paedophiles are very good at mimicking normal friendship, normal caring. And I guess it's just asking the questions that Marilyn was saying. I mean, is this more than you would expect from somebody who's just being friendly? And I think the other important thing, and again, it was very clear from what she said, is that often you do have suspicions, but you either don't know what to do with them, or you're afraid to do anything with them. You're afraid to confront the individual. You're afraid to ask your child. And I think the important thing is not to be polite. If you're concerned, if your instincts are firing, like she said, you need to act on that.
What would you advise, if we're speaking to our young children, say under 10, what would you advise we say to them? How do we phrase those very difficult questions?
Well, if you think that something is actually happening, ask them whether there are things. If you know the individual who you suspect, ask if they're uncomfortable with that person. If he ever has done anything that that the child doesn't really want him to do, has the child told him to stop doing things, and the man's carried on, or you can ask him very directly, has the man touched you? I mean, it depends very much on the relationship between the parent and the child, and the child's personality. But I think the important thing is not to be afraid to ask the questions.
Okay. Marilyn, I think you actually wanted to say something.
Yeah, as my son said to me as well, he said, "Mummy, you've always told," and I think as most mothers would, "now say no when this happens, you know, whatever, you say no, it's your body, you say no." But as my son said to me, I don't know at what point I said yes. It's that slow, it's that deliberately, and it's displayed in front of an audience of people to see, look, I'll just touch your knee, see if that kicks a reaction, I'll just do this, I'll just do that. And young children they're so young, they don't have the language skills to know what's going on. And so if you're 8 or 9, maybe you might, but don't forget also, you've been brainwashed not to tell. You know, ooh, shh, don't tell mummy because, you know, she's stressed at the moment, so we're going to give you a little prezi, so don't. Mm-hmm. And then they ask the mother, oh, did so-and-so say that you had that present? Oh, no. Oh, great. That means the victim will stay silent.
Professor Grubin, Marilyn's children were male, the children who were abused. Can you tell us a little bit about the stats on preference for girls, for boys? At what age are those children more likely to be abused?
Well, more girls than boys are abused, and the most typical ages would be post-puberty, so girls between the ages, say, 12 and 16. That would be the most common age.
And what about the sort of the preferences amongst Jimmy Savile's, for example, seems to have been, you know, a bit of an all-rounder, didn't care, you know. Is that common, the sort of the sexual preference being quite open?
Well, it's not rare. I mean, there are sex offenders that are fairly wide interests. More common, though, are individuals that are more specific, particularly when you're talking about pedophiles. So when I'm saying pedophile, I mean someone who's attracted to children under the age of puberty, so usually under 11, under 12.
Yeah.
And there you usually have men who are more primarily attracted to kids of that age, because what they're turned off by are adult sexual characteristics.
Okay. Professor Grubin, it seems to me that the kind of the common thread here is secrets and building secret worlds, and that's what predators seem to want to create. Is that one way to keep your children alert? Like, if anybody, you know, if anybody's trying to tell secrets or keep things from your mother, is that the route to go to kind of protect your children in some way?
Absolutely. I mean, they need to know that there are good secrets and there are bad secrets. And they need to be able to begin to distinguish between the two. And they need to trust their parents. They need to be able to tell when they're uncomfortable, when they think things are happening that they don't like, even if they've been told not to say anything about it. It's not easy. I'm not saying that it's easy, but that's what you need to do.
Also, coming up to Christmas soon, you know, are there peak times for sexual offending or grooming?
Not really. I think it's a year-round activity. I guess there's more opportunities to actually act on some of that around Christmas. But I'm not aware of any seasonal preferences.
I suppose I was thinking as well about the relationship maybe between alcohol consumption and sexual offending. Is that something that is happens a lot?
It is. In some cases, the alcohol is used to encourage the victim or to lower the victim's resistance. And sometimes it's used to lower the offender's inhibitions. But to blame it on alcohol would be a big mistake. Typically, the offenders are using alcohol as an excuse, in the same way that some people go to a party and they drink a little bit, so they'll be more chatty and more open. Offenders often do that as well to allow them to offend.
Now, we've mentioned lots of things tonight about excessive behaviour, identifying it, maybe excessive gifts, excessive love, excessive interest, and making a child feel special. Is there anything we parents can do to sort of to buttress that? Is it how do we make our children more resilient?
Well, there's no magic solution to any of this. You know, the real key is to have a strong relationship with your child, and they feel able to trust you even when, you know, they're told not to tell you things. And it can be hard, because as the child gets older, they want independence from the parents. They want to break away. So there's no easy answer to that. It's just being aware, not being, you know, oversensitive to it, and allowing your child to explore and to have experiences. You need to allow that to continue to happen. But I think you just need to be aware and try to develop relationships with your children that allow them to talk about it.
Okay, well, we'll wrap it up there. Thank you so much for your contribution,
okay,
Professor Grubin. It's been very informative. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Is a proud to sponsor the Parent Show. The friendly team at Neves includes specialists who can guide you through all the legal ups and downs of family life. Visit nevesolicitors.co.uk. Neves Solicitors, your complete legal solution.
Radio Verulam Community Partners. Herts and Middlesex Wildlife Trust are the leading voice for wildlife conservation in Hertfordshire and neighbouring areas.
with 43 nature reserves spanning 1,900 acres, from beautiful woodlands and wetlands to rare patches of heath and orchard, we take practical action every day to help wildlife flourish. You can help us to protect your local wildlife today by becoming a member and join more than 22,000 others in Hertfordshire and Middlesex who say that wildlife matters to them. For more information about membership, go to www.heartswildlifetrust.org.uk or telephone 01727 858 901. That's St Albans 858 901.
For more on Radio Verulam Community Partners, go to radioverulam.com/community partners.
Thanks for joining us again on the Parents Show this evening. Now, to round up our discussion on sexual abuse and grooming this evening, we're going to talk to David from the NSPCC. David, are you on the line?
I am on the line. It's not David, it's Chris Close.
I beg your pardon. Sorry about that, Chris.
That's right.
Can you tell us a little bit? I don't know if you've heard much of the conversation.
Yes, I have.
Great, great. What are your thoughts and what can the NSPCC do to complement what we've heard this evening?
Well, certainly, you know, I agree with a lot of what the previous speakers have said, what Marilyn has said, which Professor Grubin has said. And we know that child sexual abuse has devastating effects on children and young people and their families. We also know that most child sexual abuse happens within the family. The NSPCC is certainly making child sexual abuse a priority, and we're doing that in different ways. First of all, we're doing it through some of the services that we deliver on the ground. But I think two key services which are really important. One is the NSPCC's helpline, which is here 24 hours a day, and which people can ring any time when they have a concern about the safety of a child. And the other service, of course, is Childline. One of the things which has come across in tonight's conversation is how very difficult it is for children to talk about the experiences. And sadly, we know that a lot more child sexual abuse takes place than gets reported, and more child sexual abuse takes place than the children who come into the kind of official system, if you like. So there's a lot of under-reporting. So we believe that the NSPCC helpline and Childline have a very important part to play. And so we would certainly say to parents, if you're finding it difficult to talk to your children or your children are finding it difficult to talk to you, always remind them that Childline is there and they can talk to Childline. And then, of course, we also know that it's difficult for parents to raise the issues as well, as Marilyn has shown kind of very, very vividly. And so I think a key message is that if you have got concerns that your child is being abused, it's really very, very important that you tell someone. Keep on tell someone you trust, and keep on telling someone until, you know, you actually get a response. So if someone says no, you're imagining this. If you've got that gut feeling that something's not right, it's really important to tell someone. And of course, people can always contact the NSPCC.
Great stuff, Chris. Thank you so much. That's invaluable. We'll post up, obviously, the website address on our Facebook page. Thanks a million for joining us this evening.
Okay, goodbye.
All the very best. Good night.
Neves Solicitors are proud to sponsor the Parent Show. The friendly team at Neves includes specialists who can guide you through all the legal ups and downs of family life. Visit nevesolicitors.co.uk. Neves Solicitors, your complete legal solution.
Community Radio in West Hearts. Radio Verulam.
Thanks for coming back to us on the Parents Show. We'll have all links on our Facebook page in the next hour for the NSPCC, for Marilyn and for Dr. Grubin. If there's any questions you have, if you're interested in one of Marilyn's courses, please contact us through Facebook or send us an email on parentsshow@radioverulam.com and we'll pass the information on.
Yeah, thanks to all our guests tonight. I just wanted to flag up a sort of more light-hearted event, which of course we're running tomorrow night, Lydia, in conjunction with Riverbanks Nursery School, and that is the Evening with Oliver James, parenting author and journalist. It'll be in Rothamsted Conference Centre, and you can still come and pay at the door if you haven't already bought your ticket.
That's it. I mean, and there are a few tickets left.
A few, just a few. Now, next week?
Yes.
Yes, I think next week we're going to be talking to Elizabeth Jarman, if my memory serves me correctly, about optimal learning environments for children, how we can actually create physical spaces that encourage learning and thinking. So quite, you know, it's quite a detailed topic, but she is a real whiz on the subject. And I think she's joining us next week, if my memory serves me correct.
Great. OK, well, thank you very much for joining us this evening. We will be back at the same time between 8 and 9 p.m. next week. If there are any subjects that you think we should be covering and that we're not, you know, this is Parents Show by parents for parents. So your opinion is the most important thing to us. So drop us an email on parentsshow@radioverulam.com and we will certainly organise a show and try and get you the best people on whatever subject it is you'd like us to discuss. Or give us a call anytime on 01727 839 926. Thanks very much and all the best.
A new French language show is coming to Radio Verulam for West Hart's Francophones and Francophiles. Tune in to Bouche à Oreille the third Thursday of every month at 9 p.m. Find out about the latest news and culture from France, as well as Francophone events closer to home in West Hart.